yet another airline files for bankruptcy. Continental calls off merger talks with United. And Eads may be shopping Socata. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Tuesday, April 29th, 2008. The tough times for niche airlines continue. EOS Airlines, a premium class New York to London carrier, has announced that it has filed for Chapter 11 effective Saturday. A few last flights from JFK to Stansted were flown on Sunday, but none coming back to the States, and operations have now ceased completely. EOS says it will furlough most of its employees. CEO Jack Williams is clearly frustrated by his company's circumstances. He says profitability was at hand, but the current airline environment scared off investors. Quote, "There are times in business when even though you execute your business plan, and even though your employees do their jobs beautifully, external forces prevent you from controlling your own destiny. I want to express my appreciation to our dedicated employees and to the many guests who have become like family to us," unquote. EOS is the second transatlantic business class carrier to fold in the past 4 months. As ANN reported, MaxJet filed for Chapter 11 on Christmas Eve, when, ironically, stranded flyers were accommodated by EOS. Just after yesterday's AeroCast deadline, we found out that Continental, which was predicted to announce a merger with United this Thursday, has called off the talks. The New York Times reports Continental's decision was a blow to United. Continental execs and directors appear to have reconsidered the merger after United last week announced a staggering $500 million first quarter loss. In a letter to employees, Continental CEO Larry Kellner and President Jeffrey Smisek wrote, quote, "The board determined that the risks of a merger at this time outweigh the potential rewards as compared to Continental's prospects on a standalone basis," unquote. United CEO Glenn Tilton says he'll press on, quote, "Consolidation is underway. Ensuring you have the right partner is everything. We will pursue all options to ensure a strong, sustainable future for our airline and will not shy away from the tough choices necessary to create value for our shareholders and benefit our employees and customers," unquote. Industry insiders believe Tilton's best remaining choice is a merger with U.S. Airways, where CEO Doug Parker is also a strong advocate for industry consolidation. Unfortunately, U.S. Airways' merger with America West has become a tutorial on how not to integrate workforces, with angry pilots still fighting 3 years after that merger. Continental, on the other hand, is said to be discussing a codeshare agreement with American Airlines and British Airways, which could allow it to offer more destinations to consumers without actually merging with anyone. A French newspaper reports European Aeronautic Defense and Space Company, also known as EADS, plans to sell off its Socata division to a French aerospace, nuclear, and automotive group. EADS needs to raise cash to offset recent losses, and negotiations to sell off 3 Airbus plants in Germany fell through last month. Citing union representative Lucien Cazenov, the journal Des Dimanches reports EADS will sell Socata to Daire. Forbes reports Daire told the French newspaper nothing is finalized. EADS officials also would not confirm reports of the sale in so many words, but they did say discussions underway might lead to, quote, "the possible entry of Daire in the capital of EADS Socata," unquote. Socata is best known to U.S. customers as the manufacturer of the TB-20 Trinidad and the highly successful TBM-850 turboprop. EADS has previously partnered with Daire in bidding for a role in producing the Airbus A350XWB. The Sunday morning crash of a Mooney M20M into a house near Richmond, Virginia, has resulted in the death of both aircraft occupants and serious injuries to one person on the ground. FAA spokeswoman Holly Baker told local media the accident happened about 10:20 a.m. Eastern Time, shortly after the single-engine plane departed Chesterfield County Airport. The crash site is about 4 miles northeast of the airport, in the suburb of Midlothian. Low cloud cover was reported in the area at the time. The aircraft, registered to a Delaware company, was on an IFR flight plan to Franklin Municipal Airport. Authorities have not released the identities of the two men on board the Mooney. A 22-year-old woman inside the home was able to escape, but suffered severe burns and other unknown injuries. State police are assisting investigators from the FAA and the NTSB. Up next on ANN, American Airlines employees tell management don't even ask. Europe's Galileo program takes the next step, and EAA gets behind electric LSAs and ultralights. You're listening to Aero News.
You hear that sound? It's one of the all-time great inventions. Takes lids off cans just like that. But now, let's picture something even bigger. A tool that can take the lid off a whole airport. Actually, thousands of airports. It's a Garmin Wass GPS. Lets you make glide path approaches using runways that were once closed tight during IFR conditions. Hey, if you're gonna fly in the soup, you gotta have an opener. Garmin Wass GPS. Follow the leader.
Do you think the only time your certified airplane can be equipped with a full emergency airframe parachute recovery system is when it rolls off the production line? Well, think again. BRS is the aftermarket leader in providing full airframe recovery parachutes for certified airplanes like yours. We manufacture the reliable parachute systems you need for a full range of aircraft, including Cessna. For your own safety and for that of your family members and loved ones, get the extra life assurance of a BRS airframe recovery parachute. In the event of an emergency, you'll never question the security of having one final option. Call BRS at 651-457-8651 or visit us online at brsparachutes.com.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for April 29th, 2008. On the web, you can find us at www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Employees at American Airlines are bracing for requests from management to accept pay cuts and other concessions to keep the airline afloat. They say they won't be as quick to say yes as they did 5 years ago, when employee concessions saved the carrier from bankruptcy. Transport Workers Union President Jim Little told the Fort Worth Star-Telegram, quote, "We wanted to preserve jobs, keep our work in-house, and protect retirement and health care. So we were looking to make adjustments anywhere else we could. We thought we had dodged a bullet," unquote. Just one day after Americans unions agreed to across-the-board concessions, news surfaced that Americans leaders had granted themselves a bankruptcy-proof pension plan, along with bonuses tied to employee retention. Adding to the resulting ill will, American delayed disclosing the plan until after employees voted on the concessions. In the outrage that followed, AMR Chairman Don Carty apologized, then resigned under pressure, albeit dangling beneath a dazzling golden parachute. The executive bonuses were canceled. Now, American is in financial trouble again. The world's largest airline posted a $328 million loss in the first quarter of 2008. Not only are unions indicating they have no room for more concessions, they're pressuring American to restore their pay to pre-2003 levels. But a union's rhetoric doesn't always reflect the sentiments of its members. Jeff Brundage, Senior VP for Human Resources at American, says the spirit that led employees to help the airline 5 years ago is still intact. Quote, "We would do our best to face whatever the world throws at us and achieve as good an outcome as we can," unquote. I guess we'll see. Europe's Galileo program successfully launched a second test satellite in the early morning hours Sunday, giving the European Space Agency a needed boost in its efforts to establish a satellite navigation system to rival GPS. The Galileo In-Orbit Validation Element satellite was lofted into a medium-altitude orbit by a Soyuz Fregat rocket, launched from the Baikonur Cosmodrome in Kazakhstan by launch operator Starsem. Liftoff occurred at 4:16 a.m. local time on Sunday. The Fregat upper stage safely delivered the satellite into an equatorial orbit 3 hours and 45 minutes later. ESA Director General Jean-Jacques Dordain says the next four satellites to be deployed are already under construction. The GOV-B satellite carries two redundant rubidium atomic clocks, each with a stability of 10 nanoseconds per day, and one passive hydrogen maser, with stability better than 1 nanosecond per day. ESA says this is the most stable clock ever placed in Earth orbit. Galileo will be Europe's own global navigation satellite system, providing a highly accurate, guaranteed global positioning service under civil control. The U.S.-based GPS system and Russia's GLONASS are both under military control. As the final speaker on the CAFE Foundation 2008 Electric Aircraft Symposium agenda, EAA lifetime member Craig Willen wrapped up the one-day event in San Francisco by announcing that the Experimental Aircraft Association has asked the FAA to allow the use of electric motors in ultralight and light sport aircraft. Willen says the announcement drew enthusiastic applause. Quote, "I also informed the group that this is only a first step. I'm participating on an EAA task force charged with further facilitating progress in the use of electric energy to power aircraft. More announcements are coming," unquote. EAA's petition to the FAA specifically proposes specifications for battery pack weight limits on ultralight aircraft and the development and adoption of electric motor ASTM standards for light sport aircraft. Quote, as electric technology advances, the practicality and particularly the flight range and duration of electric aircraft will drastically increase, while the weight of battery packs will decrease, unquote. On the heels of a revelation that North Korea is building hardened underground fighter bases, comes an announcement that South Korea will buy 21 F-15K fighters from Boeing between 2010 and 2012. The Associated Press cited a statement Friday by South Korean officials that the order is part of the nation's effort to beef up air defense capabilities against threats from North Korea. The planes will be equipped with Pratt & Whitney engines, and the total budget for the acquisition is 2.3 trillion won. That's about $2.3 billion U.S. Originally, the order was to be for 20 planes, but Boeing made an unusual offer, a 21st plane free, in exchange for an agreement by the South Koreans to receive less transfer of technology than was required in an earlier deal. Agency official Nam Seong-woo of South Korea's Defense Acquisition Program Administration said the country will sign the contracts in May. Negotiations began last July. Boeing was the only bidder. Still ahead, Cessna rolls out the first production Citation XLS Plus. 19 are dead after a Ukrainian helicopter hits an oil platform. And Boeing's military division is doing just fine, thank you. You're listening to Aero News.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We give them an ingenious new interpretation. The Cirrus SR20 GTS. Go ahead, indulge yourself. The SR20 GTS provides entry-level luxury into the world of Cirrus, yet at a price that makes indulgence affordable. When friends, family, and business associates experience the versatility, freedom, and sheer fun of flying in your Cirrus, they'll see that it maximizes the most precious commodity of all, time. To learn more, call 888-750-9922. Or check us out on the web at cirrusdesign.com.
Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft is the next generation of headset design. One reason that they can say that is because of Clarity Aloft's flexible boom arm. This featherweight band is the same one sported by stage musicians and performers the world over. Balance and comfort are the result of its elegantly simple design. The mic boom is easily repositioned for eating and drinking during flight without disturbing your earpieces. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headset on the web at clarityaloft.com.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Tuesday, April 29th, 2008. I'm Paul Plagg. Employees at Cessna celebrated Friday's rollout of the first production Citation XLS Plus at the company's primary design and manufacturing facilities in Wichita, Kansas. The first production unit now will go to paint and interiors, while two flight test aircraft continue to work toward type certification. FAA certification is expected by mid-year, with deliveries starting before the end of this year. The upgrade to the midsize XLS will feature the fully integrated Rockwell Collins ProLine 21 avionics suite and FADEC engines from Pratt & Whitney Canada. Exterior and interior restyling includes an extended nose and expanded seat widths, both introduced to mimic Cessna's Citation 10 and Citation Sovereign models. Cessna claims the Citation XLS Plus will do 440 knots, have a range of more than 1,800 nautical miles, and land on runways as short as 3,180 feet at its maximum landing weight. The retail price is about $11.6 million. At least 19 Ukrainian oil workers were killed on Monday when their helicopter crashed into the Black Sea. Government officials told CNN the Mi-8 was operated by state gas company Naftogaz. The pilot was attempting to land on an offshore oil rig at 0630 Zulu when it ditched into the sea. Naftogaz spokesman Ilya Savin told Reuters 20 people were on board when the Helos tail rotor clipped the Tavrida platform. Monday's accident is the second in a month involving a Ukrainian Mi-8. 12 members of the country's border guard were lost when their Mi-8 crashed into the Black Sea on March 28th. The Russian Mi-8 has been in service since 1961. It's described as a workhorse used throughout the former Soviet Union in both civilian and military applications. The high-profile award of the U.S. Air Force's new aerial tanker contract to Northrop Grumman has been a public defeat for Boeing, but in the big picture, the company's military business is doing just fine. Last week, Boeing announced first-quarter earnings that beat Wall Street projections. As he filled in the details, CEO Jim McNerney observed to the Seattle Post-Intelligencer that the company won 9 of 11 major U.S. military contract competitions last year. Quote, "Our hit rate has been very, very high," unquote. Among the programs succeeding in the shadow of the KCX tanker controversy is the P-8A Poseidon. The plane is based on the 737 airliner, but will be supplied to the U.S. Navy equipped with bomb bay doors and weapon pylons under its wings. The planes will replace aging P-3 Orions, which have been flying since the 1960s. Admiral Gary Ruffhead, Chief of Naval Operations, calls the P-3, quote, "tired iron," unquote. The Navy wanted 100 planes, and Lockheed proposed supplying an updated P-3. But Boeing won the bid and will provide 100 of the new 737-based submarine hunters. The victory was good news after Boeing lost another Navy contract to Northrop last week to supply 44 unmanned aerial vehicles for use in patrolling for surface ships. Those will be used in conjunction with the new P-8A manned aircraft. The PI observes that the P-8A, which will be the first military plane Boeing builds on a standard commercial assembly line, may be the last 737 variant built at the company's plant in Renton, Washington. By the time the last of the Navy's Poseidons are delivered, Boeing is expected to have started production on a replacement for the 737 airliner, which will likely be built in Everett. The P-8A could also be the last fixed-wing plane Boeing builds for the military for quite a while. Richard Abulafia of the Teal Group, an industry consulting firm, notes that Boeing's fighter production has peaked and production of the C-17 transport is winding down. How the P-8A performs its missions, dropping sonobuoys and detecting subs, will determine, among other things, whether Boeing can sell the plane to other nations. Abulafia notes, quote, "This is pretty much it. It better work, because Boeing has a lot riding on this in the fixed-wing market for military aircraft integration," unquote. And finally, India is fairly new to the space race, but it holds a brand new record. On Monday, India reports successfully launching not one, not two, but 10 satellites into orbit on a single launch vehicle, a sort of cosmic buckshot blast. The Times of India reports the combined 1,800-pound payload included India's CartoSat-2A remote sensing satellite, an Indian mini-satellite, and 8 other nano-satellites from Europe, Canada, and Japan. The Times called it a textbook launch, the 12th successful flight for India's Polar Rocket Booster, and the 13th for the rocket's fourth stage, which was responsible for placing each satellite into the proper orbit. Monday's flight broke the record previously held by Russia, which launched 8 satellites together. G. Madhavan Nair, chairman of the Indian Space Research Organization, was beaming, quote, "We could not detect even the slightest deviation from the designated trajectory, so that shows the mission was perfect and the spacecrafts were delivered on the dot," unquote. India says it plans an unmanned lunar mission before the end of 2008. Or, who knows, maybe 12 at once. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today I'll talk with Mike Henge of Pilatus Aircraft about the new PC-12NG, an even more capable version of the respected turboprop that comes with Honeywell Avionics and upgraded Pratt & Whitney power. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our Aerocasts. Find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and at our website, www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.